From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Listeners, welcome back to the English service by Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today, I am Stefan as well, will be accompanying you for the next 60 minutes with a lot of information and good music coming from Indonesia. And we would like to begin with the news, so stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Coordinating Minister for Politics, Law and Human Rights Mahfud MD recalls how the government opted for new normal. Major easing of lockdown in England is done by opening pubs and restaurants. Now the news in details. Coordinating Minister for Politics, Law and Human Rights Mahfud MD recalled the time when the central government eventually agreed upon the new normal era. It was the third week of May 2020. Every coordinating minister, health minister, and state secretary discussed how to keep the economy moving. Mahfud MD said on Wednesday, as he attended the coordinating meeting on the handling of COVID-19, the main argument at the time was that it would not be possible to make people stay put at home and that President Joko Widodo had gathered them to think of new ideas. Factually, Mahfud MD also said that COVID-19 exists and no one can predict when it will end. Apart from economic reason and how to prevent a widespread financial downfall, the former constitutional court judge claims that the decision to introduce a new normal was also based on social and health aspects. Three Indonesian naval ships participated in a military drill in the Makassar waters, South Sulawesi province on Wednesday to strengthen their maritime surveillance and coordination capability in warfare. Naval Main Base Lantamal Fort Commander First Admiral Hanarko Jodi, escorted by Antaranus Agency on Wednesday, stated that the KRI Pulau Rimau 724, KRI Pari 849, and KRI Tatihu 853 are conducting a rehearsal of tactical maneuvers on Wednesday. This drill is being monitored by the Naval Main Base Lantamal 4 officers. During the drill, the three battleships practiced formation for counterattacks and defensive measures and stimulated threats posed by enemy fleets, he said, adding the crew also practiced pennant hoisting and semaphore signaling. According to the KRI Pulau Riau 724 commander, Major Al Qadri, the drill was aimed at strengthening the combat readiness of Indonesian naval ships in maritime security operation. The Ministry of National Development Planning, National Development Planning Agency, Bappenas, has encouraged local governments to strengthen the budgeting planning system, or SEPAKAT, to reduce the socio-economic impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, Minister of Bappenas Suharto Manuarfa in Jakarta on Wednesday stated that the evidence-based planning system at the regional level should be strengthened. Manuarfa called for adopting a different approach through SEPAKAT, an evidence-based application implemented at the provincial and village level to handle the social and economic repercussions of the coronavirus pandemic. Manuarfa remarked that the SARS-CoV-2 virus outbreak not only affected public health, but also led to a rise in unemployment. The pandemic has made it difficult for people to access basic services. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Now let's move on to the international news. 3 months after the lockdown was imposed, the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has announced a big easing of the rules in England starting next month. The big easing of the rules include changes to social distancing as well as reopening of pubs, restaurants, hairdressers, hotels and campsites. But some experts have warned that the relaxation could lead to a new wave of infection, and they said an effective track and trace system is now essential. Nuka Kusumawati has the details. From the 4th of July in England, the 2-meter social distancing rule should still be observed where possible. But where it's not, people are advised to keep a distance of 1 meter from others while using other forms of protection such as face masks. People in England will be able to go out and socialize in pubs and restaurants as well as staying in hotels and at campsites. Barbers and hairdressers will reopen and outdoors gyms, playgrounds and theme parks will also be open again. In the Commons on Tuesday, Prime Minister Johnson announcing the biggest easing of lockdown yet. He said two households in England will be able to meet indoors and stay overnight with social distancing.
Thanks to our progress, we can now go further and safely ease the lockdown in England. At every stage, caution will remain our watchword. Our principle is to trust the British public to use their common sense in the full knowledge of the risks, remembering that the more we open up, the more vigilant we will need to be.
Other venues reopening in England including cinemas, museums and galleries, but some places will still remain closed, including nightclubs, indoor gyms and swimming pools. It means that thousands of businesses across England have just 11 days to get ready to open again, and there will be strict new rules in place to protect customers. The Chief Medical Officer for England, Professor Chris Whitty, stressed Prime Minister Johnson's plan was not risk-free.
The advice to stay at 2 metres if you can stay at 2 metres remains. And the 1 metre is a 1 metre plus mitigations which bring it into line with other areas, and that's why people must take it incredibly seriously. Personally, am I comfortable with it? This is a balance of risk. It's like many things in medicine. You don't go in for operation unless you absolutely have to. It's a balance of risk.
The 2-meter social distancing rule will be replaced with 1-meter plus rule, meaning people should stay at least 2 meters apart where possible, but otherwise should remain at least 1 meter apart while taking steps to reduce the risk of transmission, such as wearing face coverings. The 2 meters rule will remain in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. Following the Prime Minister's announcement, health leaders called for a rapid and forward-looking assessment of how prepared the UK would be for a new outbreak of the virus. Australia's Prime Minister Scott Morrison said on Thursday that he has confidence the country could move ahead with easing restrictions as it can respond and deal with the new coronavirus outbreaks. As quoted by Reuters, there will be outbreaks, the government can't go stop. Go, stop, go, and it can't flick the light on and off, Morrison said, referring to restriction to curb the spread of the virulent disease. So what Morrison is saying is the government is going ahead. It built the protection to deal with outbreaks. Australia reported its first COVID-19 death in more than a month on Wednesday, as concern about a second wave of infection saw thousands of people queue, sometimes for hours, to be tested for the virus. Panama on Wednesday tapped a new health minister to replace Rosario Turner, the public face of its response to the coronavirus pandemic, whose spread has been accelerating in the country in recent weeks. As quoted by Reuters on Thursday, Luis Sucre, who has served as deputy health minister since July of last year, was named the new health minister. President of Panama, Laurentino Cortizo, during a brief television address, stated that the country has a debt to Turner that cannot be repaid. Cortizo added, "A task of this magnitude certainly constitutes a marathon that cannot be victorious without a solid sense of teamwork and without the necessary replacement to ensure the achievement of a strong victory." Cortizo also announced new ministers to lead the ministries of social development as well as housing and land planning. Panama has registered a total of 28,030 cases of coronavirus and 547 deaths so far. South Korea on Thursday proposed expanding its capital gains taxes to include a larger number of affluent stock investors in its push to reduce inequality by levying more from the wealthy and less from general share trading. As quoted by Reuters on Thursday, Finance Minister Hong Nam-ki in a policy meeting starting 2023 stated, taxes up to 25% will be imposed on annual capital gains exceeding 20 million won, or $16.627 for retail investors. That would affect about 300,000 people, or the top 5% of world stock investors in Asia's fourth largest economy. It would also mark a significant expansion of current rules, as capital gains taxes are only applied to large shareholders with stakes exceeding 1% or 1 billion won of listed stocks. Currently, no retail investors of listed shares are subject to capital gains taxes unless they are classified as large shareholders. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Listener, here's today's commentary entitled Indonesian Export to Australia Expected to Increase During IACEPA Implementation. Indonesia-Australia Partnership in Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or CEPA, will begin to be implemented on July 5, 2020. The governments of both countries are optimistic that IACEPA will be increasing the mutually beneficial bilateral cooperation, such as increasing the two countries' export value. To increase the export, both of them have agreed to first establish an economic powerhouse cooperation principle, namely trade cooperation, that targets not only each country's market, but also other countries or global markets. The second point is by removing import tariff on two countries' top products, and the third one is reducing non-tariff barriers. Considering those agreement points, Indonesia and Australia hope that the IACEPA implementation will quickly result in economic increase of the two countries. In the IACEPA agreement, there might be a great chance for export value increase from various Indonesian processing industry products, which in the last 4 years were in deficit. Based on data of the Atlas of Economic Complexity, Indonesia recorded a $3 billion US deficit in trade with Australia in 2018. Therefore, Indonesia needs to increase its products' competitiveness quality and make strategies so that the IACEPA implementation can increase the export. Generally, tariff exemption or zero tariff agreement is a variable that can increase export value. However, could the zero tariff variable increase Indonesia's export value to Australia? In a study on IACEPA by Indonesian Trade Ministry in 2016, there was an interesting fact that tariff variables do not affect Indonesia's export performance to Australia. Until now, the barriers of Indonesia's trade to Australia have been affected by non-tariff factors. One example is Product Quarantine Standard and SPAs, short for Sanitary and Phytosanitary, implemented by Australia. They could not be easily passed by Indonesian exporters, so this caused additional costs for Indonesian export products in Australian markets. A non-tariff regulation enforced by Australia to protect its domestic product is a challenge for Indonesia to significantly boost its export value to Australia. In the IACEPA, there is no agreement to remove the non-tariff barriers. There are only the preparedness and commitment of Australia to support Indonesian exporters to fulfill the standards, which is expected to be really done by Australia. Otherwise, zero tariff agreement will be in vain, because in the end, that will give nothing for Indonesia's export value increase. And listener, that was the commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is Today in History. In our regular program, Today in History, we start from an event on June 25, 1938, when the first Indonesian Language Congress was held. The Indonesian Language Congress was first held in Solo, Central Java, on 25th to 27th June 1938. Initially, the Indonesian Language Congress was held to commemorate Youth Pledge Day, which took place in 1928. It turned out that the event was not only commemorating the Youth Pledge, but also discussing language development and Indonesian literature as a whole. Next event is that in 1950, the Korean War began. The Korean War is a conflict between North and South Korea that occurred from June 25, 1950 to July 27, 1953. The main war participants were North Korea and South Korea. South Korea's main allies at the time were the United States, Canada, Australia, and United Kingdom. Although many other countries sent troops under the United Nations flag, North Korea's allies such as the People's Republic of China provided military power, while the Soviet Union provided war advisors, airplane pilots, and weapons to Chinese and North Korean troops. The last event is that in 2009, world musician Michael Jackson passed away. Michael Joseph Jackson was born in Gary, Indiana, USA on August 29, 1958. He passed away in Los Angeles, California on June 25, 2009 due to heart disorder at the age of 50 years old. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Cinta yang
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. More information in My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today, My Indonesia is titled Ministry of Environment and Forestry is cooperation with Lambung Bankurat University to control environmental damage. The Ministry of Environment and Forestry, in cooperation with Lambung Bankurat University in South Kalimantan, to control environmental damage in Indonesia. Director General of Environmental Pollution and Damage Control of the Ministry, Karliansyah, and University of Lambung Bankurat Rector Professor Sutarto Hadi signed a memorandum of understanding in the virtual event which took place on Saturday, June 20. At the event, Karliansyah said, the signing of memorandum of understanding was aimed at increasing strategic partnerships in environmental pollution and damage control activities, as well as utilizing the role and potential of each party synergistically and mutually supporting each other. According to Karliansyah, Directorate General of Pollution and Environmental Damage Control, Ministry of Environment and Forestry, wants Lambung Bankurat University to play a big role through research, study, and development of methods for controlling pollution and environmental damage. Uncontrolled environmental damage can have a significant impact, such as natural disasters, flash floods, landslides, droughts, forests, and land fires. Well, the Chancellor of the University of Lambung Bankurat, Sutarto, welcomed the cooperation and hoped it could be implemented immediately. He said Lambung Bankurat University also cooperated with the Peat Restoration Agency to anticipate forest and land fires so that in terms of experience and human resources, the university already qualified. Furthermore, the Dean of Faculty of Engineering, Dr. Bani Nur Muhammad, explained that the Water Civil Engineering had collaborated with the Research Institute for Swamp Farming in Banjarbaru City. The results of this collaboration resulted in several floodgates that are currently used. With the experience and availability of human resources, the Faculty of Engineering is ready to fully support this collaboration. Also attending the Zoom platform were the Vice Chancellor, the Dean of some faculties, and Chairman of the Institute for Research and Community Service at Lambung Bankurat University. That was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Woo!
Thank you very much for listeners who are still with us in Voice of Indonesia. Amid the COVID-19 pandemic, traveling is not suggested or not recommended, but we still got many tourism recommendations and also cultural information about our country Indonesia. Next one, Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Umbiro Ritual. Stay tuned. Most people in East Manggarai, East Nusa Tenggara Province, are farmers. They live together with nature. All things which is related to planting of various types of horticulture is always preceded by traditional rituals to honor the nature and God Almighty. No wonder, East Manggarai people have various kinds of traditional rituals related to agriculture. One of the rituals called Umbiro, which is conducted on the edge of the field when grains of rice begin to grow. Umbiro ritual is conducted to beg abundant harvest and protect the rice from the disturbance of spirits to nature and God Almighty. The Umbiro ritual is also conducted by farmers in East Manggarai, especially at Bengan village, Rana Kolong, Gunung, Gunung Baru, and other 22 villages. The local people hold the ritual on the edge of the field when rice starts flowering, usually in March. Umbiro is a ritual where the farmers beg abundant rice to the nature. In East Manggarai language, umbi means pool, and ro is a plant-like rope which grows at forest. So this ritual is like tug of war competition. Uniquely, Umbiro tradition is conducted by women against men, wearing local traditional dress, songke, scarves and headbands or headgear. When the ritual is conducted, the songs which related to the rice plants also accompanied the ritual. Before being conducted, the players firstly presented offerings to nature, ancestors, and God the Creator in the form of chickens, pigs, and goats, as well as other objects. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
Sia-sia sudah kita jalin cinta, Bila hati selalu berbeda. Sampai kapan lagi ku harus menahan rasa kecewa di dalam dada. Seandainya kita masih bersatu, tak mungkinkah menyatu walau masih ada sisa cinta. Biarkan saja berakhir sampai di sini.
Yeah.
Listener, make sure that you will stay tuned with us because more information about Indonesia will be coming up shortly. The next one will be miscellany and probably it will talk an innovation that Indonesia created for COVID-19 handling. Stay tuned.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment Miscellany. In today's edition, we present you information on Kece Robat. Recently, Surabaya State University, UNESA, has launched a robot of medical personnel, so-called Kece, which means creative, energetic, beautiful, and elegant. This robot can assist medical personnel to treat COVID-19 patients. It can also function to deliver food to the patients, conduct diagnosis to the patients, do robot communication screen, and do sterilization of room by using ultraviolet rays. Kece Robot was created to assist medical personnel so that they no longer interact directly with COVID-19 patients. Kece Robot is operated by using remote control, and it also functions to deliver medicines to the patients without medical personnel interacting and touching directly with patients in the treatment room. To be able to communicate and diagnose, the robot is also installed with a screen where a nurse or doctor can ask directly the condition of the patients in the treatment room, so that there is no direct interaction between the medical personnel and the patients. The Kece Robot also functions to sterilize the treatment room. So, if the treatment room has been used by the patients, the robot will sterilize the room from any virus and bacteria. Rector of Surabaya State University, Professor Dr. Nur Hasan, said that with the robot, the university is committed to breaking the chain of COVID-19 transmission and minimizing the transmission to medical personnel and transmission within the hospital environment. The robot, which has a battery capability of 2 hours, will be handed over to COVID-19 Response Acceleration Task Force of East Java Province. That was our segment Miscellany for today. Thanks for listening.
Bila tak juga pasti, adakah selama ini aku cinta sendiri? Biar aku menepi, bukan lelah menanti. Namun apalah artinya cinta pada bayangan? Pedih aku rasakan kenyataannya, cinta tak harus selalu miliki. Ku menunggu dalam bimbang, adakah sungguhnya aku kasih yang kau inginkan? Biar aku yang pergi bila tak juga pasti, adakah selama ini aku cinta sendiri? Biar aku menepi, bukan lelah menanti. Namun apalah artinya cinta pada bayangan? Pedih aku rasakan kenyataannya, cinta tak harus selalu miliki.
Such information, we have brought you a lot of songs from our country. More about it will be coming up shortly.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we will present a song titled Kau Tercipta Untukku by Betaria Sonata. Betaria Sonata began her career as a singer since the 1980s. Her first album titled Kau Tercipta Untukku was released in 1981. The album has a leading song with the same title. The song brought her name became popular in the Indonesian pop music industry around 1980s. The song Kau Tercipta Untukku tells a story of a couple lover who are created to love each other. Listener, let's listen to Betaria Sonata with the song Kau Tercipta Untukku. Enjoy the song.
Pergi Voice of Indonesia.
Terlambat sudah kau datang. Setelah ku dapatkan penggantimu, kini hatiku tertutup untukmu. Cukup sudah penderitaanku. Mengapa dulu kau tinggalkan diriku tanpa pesan apapun padaku?
Thank you very much for you who have been joining us since almost 1 hour ago. Now, after you are listening to all that, do not forget to send your criticism, suggestion, or maybe question. You can send it to our email, voi@voanews.id, or our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. Well then, listener, I'm Stefan as well. Thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.